You're listening to the Dan Time Podcast. I'm your host, Dan McArdle. 48 weeks so far of this project. We've come a long way, and there's a long way still to go. So I appreciate you joining me for this ride across the Daniverse. I hope it's been fun. That's what it's supposed to be, fun. You can find the show across the socials at DanTimePod. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You'll get things like bonus episodes that nobody else is going to hear about because I'm not going to promote them, and that's a special treat to subscribers of the show. Be sure to check out the Dan Time Podcast YouTube channel. Over the coming weeks, I will be releasing some never-before-seen videos from previous Dan Time episodes. Last week, my guest was Danielle Cosby, songstress out of Nashville, Tennessee. Her new single, You, is available everywhere this Friday, July 12th. We're keeping it in the Music City today, welcoming back one of my favorite singer-songwriter guests who originally appeared way back on episode number 9, Dan Harrison. Not only have I been listening to Dan's songs since last October, my little boys have latched on. They've got their favorites. I can't tell you how many times I've asked them, "What do you guys want to hear?" And they reply from the back seat, "We went south."
Went south.
On the interstate, heading straight for that small town.
A town.
So that's Wyatt singing his favorite song, "We Went South." I remember driving home from T-ball practice with Warren this past spring, and we listened to Alameda on his request no fewer than about 10 times in a row. On this episode, Dan's promoting the current single, "Talkin' Dirty." Download it on all platforms. Dan's music, at least for me, is just perfect riding around music. It takes you places, gets you thinking, makes you reminisce, makes you wonder about what's possible. The choruses get stuck in your head, the riffs, the solos, and all the other accents that make these songs uniquely Dan Harrison. This is pro quality. Dan Harrison is a thinking man's songwriter. He's a music fan. He was also a double major at Wake Forest and speaks fluent Spanish. Dan knows the elements of a great song. He knows how to connect with the listener on an emotional level, and he surrounds himself with talented people in the industry. When he's not writing his own songs, Dan is also out there on stage performing with other musicians. Go to danharrisonmusic.com, sign up for updates, follow him on the socials, Dan Harrison Music. Okay, enough said. Let's get to the conversation.
It is Dan Harrison time. Dan Harrison time.
I've name dropped him at least a couple times on previous episodes since the first one. And he's released 4 singles, if I'm keeping count, in 2024. A lot to catch up on today. The new single, "Talkin' Dirty." Can't wait to talk dirty with Dan. That wasn't in my notes, but yeah.
Dan, right there for you. I would have said it if you were.
But a big deal here, the first return singer-songwriter musician on the show, Dan Harrison. How you doing today, man?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Dan, as always. And I'm doing good. I'm honored you had me come back. You must have run out of interesting people to have to bring me back before you hit the 52 mark. But it's an honor to be back. I do appreciate it. I'm good. Yeah.
Well, it's been quite a busy year, and just to think that 2024, we're at the halfway mark. And man, you've really been pedal to the metal, I think, since we wrapped up in what would have been maybe September of 23. We were talking some "We Went South," and I don't think the duet with Sophie Lynn had not been released. So far, so good. The music just kept coming and coming as we rolled into January, February, March. Folks, if you've missed some of these releases, please go back, hit pause on this podcast, and get on your favorite platform, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream music, and catch up on where you've missed. I've got my favorites, and I'll drop those in. But we're going to talk about the here and now for Dan Harrison, what's going on. And I understand you just played a show today that was not scheduled, but how'd that go?
This gig was actually a little bit different. It wasn't my gig. I was playing guitar for a buddy of mine. I play guitar for a bunch of different artist friends of mine as well as my own gigs. But either way, it's just always fun to get the call and go out. It was for a festival in downtown Nashville today, and that's always fun to play, especially in the summer. Just everyone's out, like good spirits, good vibes, and that never gets old. And I just love to be out in the sun and playing some tunes. Although sun is pretty hot today, it's been pretty hot. I don't know, you guys having that heat wave too? Because man, it is rough here. It has been rough.
Yeah, you know, you just try to get close to the water down here. Because if it's that hot, the breeze makes a little bit of difference. But yeah, But Dan, how are the when you get to play a set now? Sometimes you're playing; it's just you and the acoustic guitar, and sometimes you got some guys behind you. Are you still dusting off some of the old ones, like running out of radio when you get to play with a full band? Are you how are those sets drawn up?
It kind of depends on the show, and that's a callback for sure. Running out of radio. It depends on the show. Depends on if, you know, how many original, because sometimes it leans more playing covers versus originals. But obviously, if we're talking about more original shows, it really kind of just depends on the show. I'm trying to lean more into the newer stuff for sure, just because that's the stuff I'm trying to promote and put, you know, currently putting out and is fresher. And frankly, I think is, you know, better. I like the stuff that I put out when I first moved to town, but you know, I would hope the stuff that I'm putting out after being in town 6 years is better than the stuff when I first moved here. Then otherwise that's not a progression you want to be on, is the other way around. So yeah, I definitely lean more towards new stuff, and but every now and then I'll throw in, especially if I'm like, if it's a lot of originals, if it's like I'm playing a show this coming week, actually out of town, a full band show out in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm playing a long show there. So that one, I'm definitely doing some older originals because I just have a lot of set time to fill. So that's fun. It's fun to be able to get to break them out, because kind of putting them next to the new ones and just kind of, it's kind of like going back in time for 3 minutes and like, oh, I remember this song and I'm here now. Wow. That's crazy. So yeah.
Yeah. I could see where some of the older songs, like you said, you've moved along as far as production, and you probably hear certain things that you did in the studio, and you're like, I would have done that a little differently now. But when you get to play it live, you can put your current twist exactly. And experience on it.
The growth, exactly, 100%, yeah. I mean, John Mayer said this, I don't even know if I said this in our first podcast. I probably have said it in every interview I've ever done, just because I love it so much. But he talks about how songs are like time capsules, and they're a capturing a moment in time, because he's been asked about, like, oh, does he ever still play like Body as a Wonderland or any of those ones? He still like those songs. It's like, well, he's like 20 years plus older than he was when he wrote them. He's in a different stage of life. And he's like, you know, I might not relate to those songs now, but there was a time that was me. So it's still valid for me to play it. And it takes me back to that moment. So I feel the same about my song. And I think any songwriter, artist, anyone who creates will tell you, whatever thing that they're creating, it's capturing that moment in time as much as anything else in their life relative to them. So whether it's seeing an old painting or listening back to an old song you wrote, like, it's going to take you back to the circumstances in which you created it as well, for sure.
Dan, I want to jump right into talking dirty here. I was thinking about this today. I've been listening to the song a lot. The wordplay has always been characteristic of your writing style. And beyond that, Dan, I also like how you kind of pair up phrases, and you don't see this in everybody's songwriting. Like, you'll talk about, rather kick it back 30 rack instead, room for two, me and you messing up a short bed, getting our hands a little less than clean. Actually, that wasn't the one. I'm looking here at the lyrics. Yeah, sinking in some fresh mud, stripping down, cleaning up out in the creek. And the way that rolls out, like, that's all Dan Harrison. When people hear this, it's not going to remind them of somebody else, because those, and I know you got some writing partners as well, but it's like characteristic of your sound, the wordplay, and I think in We Went South, the 09 Jeep reference, Saved Up Some Green, like, you just, no one else is going to write that. That's your line.
But oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. I mean, I definitely obviously have to give credit to co-writers. I think, I mean, they've certainly helped me develop that sensibility that I have. There was a time when I wasn't coming up with those kind of lines, but after having it rubbed off on me for so long, that's definitely that's the thing, the kind of things that I gravitate to. I just say hooks, like there, because there's like the main hook of the song, like the title, there's guitar hooks, there's even hooks within lines, like any kind of like inner rhyme or alliteration, stuff that just makes the line pop a little bit more and more memorable, like those ones you just referenced in those two songs. So no, I really appreciate that. And that's certainly, I somewhat, this is another, I forget who said this, but I was seeing a show, another songwriter said something like this, or maybe it was a publisher in a publisher meeting. I don't know, it all blurs together, but something about songwriting. This is what I have come to, this is what I aspire for my songwriting to be, and my songs in general. They talk about how great songwriting is, you come for the melody and you stay for the lyric. So the melody and the music captures your attention, and it's great, no doubt, and definitely it has to be great because we're talking about music. So you want the music to be there, but the lyric having being really crafted is important to me. Not overdone, hopefully, or overwritten, but really well crafted and perfectly fit for the song and the sentiment that you're trying to express, because then it can have layers and it's a listening experience. So people, it captures people's attention, like, oh, this song is cool. And then they start actually listening to the words and like, oh, wait a minute. There's more going on here. Like, I need to listen to this again. Like, I don't want songs to be not just one hit wonders. I want to be one and done. I want people to re-listen. Like my favorite, re I still listen back to my favorite records all the time. Like just uncovering pieces, and obviously, cause they also bring me back there, their comfort. Like they bring me back to certain things, but, they were crafted and so well done. It's like figuring out all the nuances lyrically, production wise. So I really try as much as I can, sometimes to the annoyance of my collaborators, because I'm just like, no, this line's not right yet. Like they're all just trying to like be done and go home. Like, now we're close. And so I can, you know, sometimes maybe be a little bit too much. And I have to learn when to pull back and like, hey, just let say the thing. You don't have to overthink it, but I definitely try and say it as freshly and in a unique way as possible, because I think that's ultimately what distinguishes an artist beyond their actual singing voice is their lyrical phrasing and flow and how they say things. Because I mean, you know, the way Springsteen's going to say something, the way Dylan's going to say something, the way even, you know, in the country music, like the way Morgan Wallen would say something versus Hardy versus Eric Church. Like I know Eric Church's phrasing just as well, if not better than like his lyrical style. Like I could hear a song like, oh, that's such an Eric Church line, even if he didn't write it or not, but like it's the kind of thing he would have written. Or then I find out that he actually did and someone else cut it, but his phrasing is so unique and really inimitable, and that's another piece of it that I think is really important. So you kind of hit it on the head there.
Yeah, real quick, talking about Eric Church, and we'll touch on the single that preceded this one, I Go to Church. Love that one. You know, some people fell in love with Eric Church, and then there's been this huge wave of new artists and kind of a new era. And man, you'd go check back into some of those albums and some of those singles that really lit your world on fire. They're still going to do it. I was listening to Eric Church last night, and gosh, I mean, just taking that song Springsteen, I don't know that there's a better crafted song in the genre. It's in the top three, I think, since it was released.
I
Just.
mean, it's, yeah, I agree. I've talked about this to many people, and I might have even mentioned it on my social media on Instagram or something. But if I had to pinpoint a song that really was the life-changing song for me, it was that song, because it was the song that bridged the gap for me with the music I grew up with, you know, classic rock and all these other things with country music. And that sort of nexus point showed me, hey, okay, if I'm going to do music someday, like I got to go where this guy is and do what he does. 'Cause that, it just really hit me. Like, obviously I hadn't had that exact experience that he had, but it just hit that emotion. And obviously just the references, it all just like connected the dots for me. And then it's, you know, like you said, with my song from the prior single, sort of a full circle moment of me then doing that same kind of referential song about him that he did about Springsteen, although it's more concretely about him than Springsteen lyrically. Was like how the songs are tied in with the memories of that relationship. So slightly different, but similar concept of using the references. So it really, yeah, No, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more either. I mean, I could go on about Eric's catalog. I mean, so many songs. That wasn't his fir the first of his that I heard, but that was the one that really like blew the doors open for me. It's when I started to understand what songwriting was, because I grew up singing and playing guitar, but we start off imitating before we start creating, and so that was when the doors started, or the light started to flicker on. I'm like, okay, this is something I need to follow where this is going.
Absolutely. Dan, I think you do a great job, and this latest single is no exception of bringing in memorable guitar solos. None of the solos in your songs feel like throwaway or just filler. It's like, well, it's just a good place to just drop one in. It's like, well, that was pretty cool. Like they all kind of have that quality. I think you work with, in my notes here, Alan Schoenfeld, Sol Littlefield. When you guys get to that part where you're trying to craft that solo for that song, is that some pretty tense moments in the studio where you're, hey, let's hammer that out
No,
again, let's do another take?
I mean, it's Adam and Saul are just absolute professionals. I mean, they play on every hit record of the last like 20 years they've been a part of. At least Adam has. Saul's a little bit younger, but Saul played on all of Luke Combs's stuff. He's the guitar on Beer Never Broke My Heart. And working with those guys really was an incredible experience because, I've always been a guitar player and I played all the guitars on my earliest records. And I play guitar on a lot of these songs too, but it was a new experience kind of going to the studio with a band and actually tracking, because that's what we did for a lot of these songs. We kind of tracked them together. Since I'd already had them written, I had these demos done that I made. And that was part of the project too, was to try and help me develop and find my own sound. I built out these demos myself with my producer's help, but really figured out like what kind of direction I wanted to go sonically, where I wanted certain parts, the kinds of parts I wanted. And to be honest, a lot of the records are pretty close, at least arrangement wise, to what the demos were. Any differences are what those guys came in and their professional level brought up another 5-10% and made it the difference between like a good sounding demo versus like a damn good, like a hit record. Those guys, they just are pros. Like there's no issue, no tension. Like in Talking Dirty specifically, the only thing I knew that I wanted was a talk box. If you know what a talk box is, like that's the Peter Frampton, Do You Feel Like We Do, and all that stuff. Just because the
Right.
song, I thought it was a call to like a cool little reference to the fact the song's called Talking Dirty, that the solo used a talk box. And that's like anytime you hear that like kind of what like vocally kind of sound in the song, like there's licks throughout the song that have it too, like the wow 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 wow. I just let Adam go nuts because he like had the thing, he got it, and he was just doing it. And I didn't even need to, because a lot of these songs I went in later, like they track the like meat and potatoes, the rhythm guitars. I also got a shout out Devin Malone too, because he did all the acoustic and banjo and all that stuff. And he's an excellent player all around, electric and everything too, but he's really amazing at acoustic, and he's played on all of Sam Hunt's records and everything. So it was really cool, honestly, to work with all these guys. These are the guys that played on the stuff that made me want to move to town in the first place. So it was a really, really cool full circle moment for that. But yeah, I mean, I'm used to playing guitar on all my records, and to let these guys come in and let the pros do their work, it really forced me to kick it up a notch. It's like, hey, like, do I really need to play on this song? Like, I'm gonna play it live all the time. Like, and I'll learn the part. It's not a mat. Like, Keith Urban doesn't play guitar on every single song that he might like do like a signature lick or a solo, but he's not like doing every single rhythm part and every like he first of all, he doesn't have time. He's on the road all the time. Like, he's Keith. But I learned from that experience. It's like, hey, these guys do it every day. Let them elevate the song, and then I can put my flavor in it where I need it to. And this song in particular, I think I might have played like a banjo guitar part in the verse or the pre-chorus, but I don't think I actually played any guitar on this track. But I will say the demo was very much informed of what they did. So I did like, and there were some like other songs like that are coming out soon, which you don't even know about yet, where we even took, because the parts were just right from the demo and we were in the same key and the same tempo, that we literally just took the track that I did from the demo and put it in the final record because it just was right. It was interesting. Like every track was a different experience. Some we completely redid everything and it was still informed by the demo, but some I didn't play on at all. Some I played a lot of stuff on still. Like we went back and overdubbed later, and others it was kind of a mix. So Sorry, long-winded answer as mine tend to be, but yeah, I don't, there was no issue with those guys because they're pros. And I'd also put in a lot of work beforehand putting together these demos. A lot of times in the studio, artists or the songs come in just as work tapes, like just an acoustic guitar and a voice. So it's really up to them. Like these band guys are like kind of almost producing at the same time too, along with the producer and engineer, like coming up with parts, trying to come up with the vibe. And that's hard. That's obviously harder and takes a lot more legwork. So I tried to make it as easy for them as possible and just like, hey, here are fully built demos for all of them. Like, just take them and elevate them. And that's what they did.
I mean, just it sounds fantastic. It sounds like that you do have some pros behind you, but again, this is the brainchild of Dan Harrison. And man, if you go back to like Hangover Here and that dun, 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 I'm probably not saying it just right, but is that something that came to you one day and you're like, do you kind of get these melodies in your head and then pair them with some lyrics you've already been writing, or how does it usually happen?
It's happened always. I remember specifically with the Hangover Here riff. That was a riff that I made on the demo. I remember that. And they retracted themselves because they when they were in the studio. But I remember that riff. It all depends. I mean, Hangover Here we'd had written for a long time, and we did like actually two different demos because the first one we did just like wasn't right. And it was when me and my friend Elise, we were just like so much newer to town and newer to the recording process. So we just it wasn't right. So when I was doing it, when I knew I wanted to cut it for this project, I redid my own version of it. And that riff came along just in that process. But the song had already existed for a long time. It's so sometimes it can just come along later. I could literally like be in the shower or like a lot of times I feel like when I'm doing things where or like when my brain has time to wander, like if I'm half asleep or if I'm driving or if I'm on an airplane, anytime that my brain isn't busy with an immediate task at hand, that's sort of when things like that, just come into my head. But a lot of what I do is pairing melodies or vibes or chord progressions or whatever with another lyric or title idea that I had separately. It's just like playing puzzle pieces or Tetris, like kind of just matching them together. Sometimes though, it all comes at once. Like there's a song I have coming out. The last song I'm putting out this year, I very much remember at least like the chorus melody and the hook concept that all came at once, like one night. Like just the melody was so tied to how they were just tied together. Like the way I heard when I first thought of that hook, it just was like, da, 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 like immediately. It's so sometimes there's no hard and fast rule. It's happened all kinds of ways for me, and I'm sure any creative would say the same.
Dan, I love during the time a few months ago when Hangover Here was the new single and some of the social media posts, and particularly, I mean, I still laugh about this, Dan. The one you did where it's like, okay, Hangover at 21, and you just spring right up, you grab a Gatorade, and off you go. Hangover at 31. And folks, if you miss this one, go back and watch it. Dan's acting chops are pretty solid there with the handshaking, trying to pour the glass of water. I mean, we've all been there, and my gosh, if you make it to 41, when you make it, that sounded bad, but it doesn't get any easier. So I thought that was hilarious, Dan, and the way that you guys crafted the video. Because again, there's a lot of songs that address the party, the after party, but what about 7:45 the next morning? You're running late for work, or you're not running late for work, but you just realize, oh my gosh, what was that all about last night? And I'm paying for it big time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. I appreciate that. That was one of my favorite posts from that video. Like that was just I knew when I was putting that song. Like sometimes it's hard to figure out like it's hard to plan content for certain songs. Like I don't really know what to do here, but that song really lent itself to just like, oh, there's so many ideas we can do around drinking and hangovers. And that's always fun when and I try and have songs like that too that have like a whole kind of world or a universe in them that like we can extrapolate and exploit in other forms like that. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I go to church with someone too. There's just so much to work with because it's obviously all song references. So different thing, obviously. But yeah, that's funny. And it's true. I mean, I feel like I don't drink that much anymore anyway, just because like I don't know. I mean, I will certainly, if someone is giving me a drink, I will rarely turn it down, but man, I just can't, the hangovers, they last like a day plus now. I used to literally, I mean, I'm sure you remember too. It was like 2 hours in a Gatorade and I'm good.
Oh yeah.
It is not.
Yeah, and halfway, through the next day, you'd gotten through, if it's your work day or whatever, and you're 22 or 24 years old, and you're already thinking about that night. You're ready to go again.
Yeah. I know. It's
31. You need another day.
Yeah, it honestly makes me sick just thinking about being like that back then. So, but different, yeah, different era for sure.
What about just on that note, do you feel like that there's, is there much pressure out there living in Nashville? Maybe not just the circles that you run in, but the places and events that you commit to, and then kind of afterwards, is there pressure to hang out and drink, or do people mostly respect if you're not drinking?
Oh, I mean, there's definitely, I don't know if pressure is not the right word, but it's just definitely something you're confronted with all the time. Like, pressure, not pressure to drink. There's definitely like, you feel, I think, at least I feel it, a pressure to like be places, like being a part of the scene, showing up, supporting people, having to support yourself, whether or not you're playing, like, keeping running into people because that's how you get on people's radar, whether it's through they keep seeing you play or like you running into them at the same place. Like, so absolutely, there's definitely that sort of dynamic, and within that, it's there, drinking is obviously a big part of the culture of the town, and obviously we lionize it in country music. Drinking is such a lauded thing, but we there's plenty of songs that talk about addiction as well because it is. And I have plenty of friends here that I moved to town with me around the same time, and the drinking, they let the drinking kind of get the better of them. Like, everyone's out here to have a good time, and even when we're quote working and we can all have fun, but it's kind of like they don't really tell you, like, you got to figure out your own limits and like what works for you, and like, and that's true in terms of drinking and just and hanging out. Like, there might be, usually there's like three or four events going on almost every night in Nashville, but like I need to, like, oh, I should show face at one of them. And so there are some nights where I try and hit all of them, and for 30 minutes to 45 minutes each. And there's some nights I only hit one or two. And then there's some nights where I'm like, man, there's just so much going on. And I have so much on my plate. And I'm just so mentally exhausted that I wouldn't be my best if I'm there. And then that's not serving you well if you're not able to take advantage of the situation there and be present. That's something that we all struggle with. I've struggled with immensely. So in those kind of moments, I try and just take a step back, sort of what we were talking about before we started the podcast, like trying to find that balance, because it's so easy to just be go, go, go. I have a million recording things I'm working on for myself and for other people. And then at that same time, trying to show up to the places to meet the right people and be in the right spot at the right time and to create opportunities. And it's a never ending kind of balance and struggle. And that's, part of it is some people relish that and it can be fun, but it can also be overwhelming. So definitely there is a pressure, whether it's external or internal, some mixture of both. Certainly to be present and hang out, and there's just alcohol is there. I mean, there's plenty of people that don't drink anymore, and that I know, like I said, that went to a bad place with it and kind of came back. So I don't think anyone's really pressuring anybody's. It's just like you're just surrounded by it. You have to have your own strength of will.
Well said. Me personally, sometimes I mean, I'm fine drinking a water if I don't want to drink, but club soda with lime, I'll just throw that out there. It looks like you're enjoying a beverage. If you're flashing the
Absolutely.
grin and you're hanging out, and it's 11 o'clock and you're in a bar, people think that's a gin and tonic.
Shoot, I mean, I'll have a Coke or a ginger ale. They don't know. They probably
Yeah.
think it's Jack. There's there. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, I still get hungover anyway, even if I don't drink. If I'm out late enough and at those bars and we're hanging, like, I still feel terrible the next day.
Yeah.
It's alcohol's not gonna make it any better for sure. But yeah, no,
And you
it's
gotta, how about some of the things that you have where you've taken the music, like Key West Songwriters Festival, back in May? How was that experience?
Oh, it was a blast. It always is. And that definitely kind of what we were just talking about with, in terms of being there. And then that there's more that one's harder to resist in terms of drinking, but that's just 'cause, we're all down there at the beach. Like, that's That's a bit of a different situation. That's spring break for Nashville, but it was awesome. It's always a great time. That was like probably my fourth time going since I moved here, and it's a great time. It's always like a place that I make a lot of new friends that I might have already known in town, but like I didn't really spend any time with. But you kind of get to know people in a different setting, and it's well more than worth the price of how expensive it is to go and stay there in Key West for a week.
Right.
And I always kind of treat it as like a work vacation, so to speak. But it's a lot of fun, and but definitely you have to pace yourself. Just like within this town and industry in general, you just it's a really good microcosm and metaphor for Nashville in general. You know, 5 days of nonstop drinking and partying and playing shows. Like you'll kill yourself real quickly if you're not careful. And I've had those years. I learned it the hard way, so I've gotten a lot better at knowing how to pace myself, at least there. So, yeah, but it was a great time. It always is.
Just recently, this a few weeks ago, the Carolina Country Music Fest, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Yeah, I played a couple of smaller stages there. That was a lot of fun, and I went to Myrtle Beach in college a number of times on, you know, spring break and post exams trips, and so it was funny to be back there. That was just a quick same day in and out kind of thing. I didn't really get to enjoy the festival as much as I wanted to. Saw a few other artists there and some other friends that I know too that were playing. But it was cool. It's always nice to be, any excuse to be by the beach is okay with me. So, and I definitely broke out a few of the beach songs because, you know, when in Rome, as they say.
Yeah, what do you like? Are there some kind of island covers of some of the Kenny Chesney, Jimmy Buffett variety songs that you like to play in certain locales?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Zac Brown stuff, like Knee Deep. I mean, Margaritaville is always a classic. I mean, I'm a big Jake Owen fan, so I like a lot of his stuff, and he has a bunch of beach songs. Obviously, Kenny does too. Beer in Mexico is a good one. I have an original that I love that I've played out a lot. I haven't recorded it, but I would like to maybe someday, but I also think it very much could be a song that a guy like Kenny Chesney or a Jake Owen or one of those guys could do, and it would be really, really awesome if they did. It's a beach song. I have a lot of beach songs, weirdly enough, but this one is one of my favorites. It's called To Beach Their Own. And it's just, you know, kind of what it sounds like. You know, we all have our beaches that we like, and that's okay, to beach their own. But it's a fun one, and people always seem to like it. So yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, I could in some of those songs you named. I mean, I love Bama Breeze. We were talking about that before we got
Oh
started
yeah, of
here.
course. Bama Breeze is great. Yeah. I actually don't know that I've ever played that. I've seen the writer who wrote one of the writers who wrote that, Mark Irwin. I've seen him play it many a time here in town, and he tells a story about it, and it's always really cool. Just like how it got to Jimmy and all that. And but I don't know that I've actually ever played that myself. I should add it to the set because it's a great one.
Jimmy Buffett is, I mean, of course, when he passed away, there was a groundswell of support and everyone posting their thoughts and their favorite songs. Man, I still think about Jimmy Buffett, love his music, and his loss, I think, is still felt across genres. The way, I mean,
Absolutely.
there's just like so many ways to carve it up, the legacy, the fun that he had on stage. Everyone remembers the smile. He's hopping around barefoot. He's just having the time of his life. There was so
He
much
really.
more depth to Jimmy Buffett than I think people realize. I mean, the guy was, I want to talk about, speaking of well-spoken Dan Harrison, I don't think we covered it on the first episode that you graduated from Wake Forest, but a double major. I want to touch on that in a couple of minutes here, but yeah, your thoughts on Jimmy Buffett and what he meant to you.
You know, I can't say that I would like I grew up like Springsteen, Queen, Van Halen, who else am I thinking of, like John Mayer, guys like that. So I certainly loved Jimmy and loved his stuff, but I wasn't as familiar with his stuff until a little bit later, till honestly coming to Nashville. My respect for him has grown immensely, and I really do love a lot of his songs, and he was a great songwriter as well as song picker, we like to say. You know, he chose great songs to record, whether or not he wrote them, which is a skill. I mean, all the best guys here in town, Kenny, Lee Bryce, Garth Brooks, I mean, they are all great songwriters themselves who have hits to their name, but and they had to be that good to know how to pick great songs. So, Jimmy, I think the more that I've listened to and learned about Jimmy, I think he really feel good music is just all that comes to mind. Like, I think the stuff that we just think of as cliche, that is kind of like that island sounding thing, like that didn't exist before him. Like, it's because he made it so ubiquitous and popular. And I think we take that for granted. And I think that's, he's the perfect example of music that's just made to make people feel good and bring people together. There's no agenda behind it. There can be a message, but it's simple messages. And it really, I think, is the purest and most honest, one of the purest and most honest artists and catalogs out there in that sense. I think he's an artist that I think you could say just as much as anyone really like left a mark on the world with their music. Because just think about it. I mean, the Margaritaville brand, everything that's an extension of Jimmy Buffett, he was a billionaire. Like he built these incredible brands. I didn't even know he had like retirement communities like for Margaritaville. Like it's just this, he created this lifestyle. It's almost like they call the, I think another, a good way to look about it is like his fans, his diehard fans are called parrot heads, and you have like dead heads. It's like, it's that level of dedication and like fandom. It's like they really, it wasn't just fans of the music. They just, it was, it inspired a culture and a way of life. You know what I'm talking about? Like I can only, I can't even imagine my music having that kind of effect. In effect, I would love it to positively, certainly. Just him being able to figure that out is really, really incredible. So he's just, yeah, there's really few artists like him. And it was, I also didn't know that he came to Nashville originally. And it was like him having, it was him leaving Nashville and going to Key West and finding that's where he found his niche. But Nashville was still always a part of his story and close to his heart. So I always thought that was cool too.
I really like your thoughts there on Jimmy. Again, if there's no Jimmy Buffett, there's probably, who knows where Kenny Chesney,
Right.
which direction his career turns. I apologize for people listening or watching. You can hear the daddy in the background.
Oh, I actually get it. So.
That's one of your fans there, Dan. I got to mention
Oh,
before I forget. I mean, my boys love Dan Harrison. And it's weird. Like Wyatt is the We Went South guy, and Warren, my oldest, is the Alameda guy. And they are
wow.
latched on to those are their jams.
Wow, that's special. I that really, yeah. That's really cool.
But I just wanted to, what you're saying there, some of your songs also have that quality where it's, I don't know if you'd call it escapism, but people feel better, I think, when they listen to some of these songs. I will always associate We Went South with the fall, the onset of fall, for some reason for me, football season. I know you're playing a tailgate in September back at Wake Forest. Or I saw that on the website, September 14th.
I don't know if that's announced yet, but I mean, I put it on the website, obviously. I don't know, but it hasn't been, I don't know if it's been officially announced by Wake, but yeah, I'm playing the homecoming tailgate there. We're playing Ole Miss, actually, so that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm excited for that. That'll be a perfect place to play We Went South for sure.
And Dan, I got to say this real quick. Alameda is a really special song to me. I feel like this is one, and folks, if you missed it, it was released the top of the year, January 2024. You really flourish on this song, Dan. I think that it's almost like well, I don't think you're just coming out and saying, look, I could do this all day long. I could write songs just like this, and this could be all I do. But it's kind of showing people, hey, I could do this. All right? If I wanted to just write these really deep songs where your curiosity really shines through, I think you hit one out of the park. I was talking to an FM DJ friend. I call him a friend. He's a contact in Fort Walton Beach. I said, you got to listen to this. I'm not telling you got to put it in a rotation, but check it out. Hope he doesn't mind me name dropping here. Boat Reynolds, Highway 98 Country, said, I'll say this, Dan, it's a beautiful song, very well written, and the production is pro level. Now, I didn't stick around to
I
see if he put it in rotation or not, but
Yeah, I'll have to check my ASCAP statements if he did.
yeah.
But that's awesome. And actually, a good buddy of mine who's actually one of the, it's funny connection there. One of my good buddies from college, who's one of the people that really introduced me to Eric Church, is actually from Fort Walton Beach. So kind of a funny small circle world there. He lives in Louisiana now. He's getting married next year. I'm going to his wedding. So I appreciate that. I don't know if we, I guess we haven't spoken since Alameda yet. I don't know if I told you or you probably saw online, but Yeah, that song is about my grandma, my mom's mom, because she passed sometime during COVID, and she was from Alameda. That's where she was born. And it was just, you know, I realized after she passed, like, obviously she'd been alive for most of my life. She was almost 94, like, you know, lived a long time, but last couple of years were not great. But I just realized there wasn't that much that I actually knew about her life before, certainly before I was born, and definitely before my mom was born. Like, I knew, like, where she was born, her parents, if she had siblings, et cetera. Like, and because some of her, I think her brother's still alive, but yeah, I just realized there wasn't that much I know. And about all my grandparents and even my parents, to a certain extent, it's just like things we just take for granted or don't think about. And so that was kind of, that song was like, man, I wish if you were still here, I'd ask you all this stuff. And hopefully someday I get to. And I think we've all had that feeling of someone. So I really appreciate that, though. That means a lot.
Yeah, I took down this in my notes too. This may have been on one of your one of the reels when that song was released. The experience of this song has made me want to be more vocal in my relationships. It's kind of like the Cody Johnson song, "Till You Can't." You can only talk Absolutely. To someone about their life and experiences until you can't. So I just really love that, Dan.
It's true. It's true.
But super excited for you here. What's coming next? The music that's coming out next. Folks, check it out. Talking Dirty. We probably didn't talk enough about this song. Let's bookend it here on Talking Dirty. The video, I don't think I mentioned this. Andrew, I'm probably going to mispronounce this. I think I said Alan Schoenfeld. That's Adam.
Adam, yeah, Adam Schoenfeld.
Andrew Capra?
Yes.
Produced the video?
No, he produced the record. Oh. The video was by Grayson Greene. He does a lot of good work. He's a great, great video guy. Does a lot of great work in town, and I'm very lucky to work with him. So yeah, we did. That was a fun little video. That was like just a really simple concept. We just went like way out, like 30 miles west of town, and found this like dirt road, and it just like had all the trappings of like a country song that you could want, like visually. Like there was a cornfield, there was like water, there was dirt roads, and we were trying to figure out like a simple concept, and we're like, well, I'm just kind of walking down this road and that's cool, but it's just also kind of boring. Why don't we do it once, like where I'm completely clean? And then I just got really dirty and took my shirt off and like rubbed it in the mud and put mud all over my face and everything. And so we like kind of the full video, which isn't out yet, but like it kind of just cuts between the clean takes and the dirty takes. And we did the exact same thing like twice and just had a lot. So that was a lot of fun. So very, very also, dirty, obviously.
And even in this song, it kind of sounds like, you know, if the subject in the song, if the girl starts talking to you, hey, all you got to do is start talking dirty, but you really still drop in that Dan Harrison curiosity in the song. You're still interested in her. But yeah, I love the chorus. The chorus is going to stick in your head, folks. Play the song after you wrap up this episode. I'm only talking dirty like a dirt road out where no one else goes. Nothing but the pines, far as we can see. You're going to love it. And I tell this to all my listeners because I've had guests on the show that Daniel Moralia, blues artist, Dana Wiley from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I'm sure that place is about to erupt if they can pull off this upset against the Stanley Cup finals.
That would be crazy. I was actually in Canada earlier this week. And it was game 5, and they stayed, and I just was in a random bar, and they were, that was crazy. First time in Canada and during the Stanley Cup, and they're like, do or die, game 5.
Yeah. But I try to cover as many genres as I can. I've got some outreach out there that I'm still pending on an R&B guest, but I've had Americana, folk. I had a metal drummer. We've got another indie pop artist coming up. But if my guest on any given week, it's like not in your wheelhouse, I guarantee you that you know somebody who's going to love this sound. So keep an open mind. Even if you don't think that this is your thing, if you've been listening to the show, I haven't steered you the wrong way yet. So check out Dan Harrison. Put it in a playlist and wait, especially with football season coming up, wait for someone to ask you, who is this? Because they're going to do it. Mix it in with some Eric Paisley, Eric Church, and just drop in Dan Harrison in the middle of the playlist. Everyone's going to hear the songs they know, and then they're going to hear a song they're like, I feel like I should know this. That's just my commentary, Dan.
I really appreciate it, Dan, as well. Like, that really, that's very kind of you. And I mean, if I had 1,000 people that, you know, that you probably heard of that 1,000 true fans concept, but if I had 999 other guys, or let's say 997, cause you've got your sons. So, 997 other folks like you, I'd be doing pretty well. So I really, really appreciate it.
Well, you got great things ahead, and, love to have you back to talk, you know, Dan Harrison part 3. We'll check in 2025, who knows when, but maybe, I mean, there's could be another, some more stories and some more singles to talk about. Can't wait to Absolutely. Watch as your music evolves here, Dan.
I appreciate it, man. Anytime. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode, folks. They always got to come to an end. And as you can tell, I don't like to do that because I want these episodes to continue on. But anyway, thanks, Dan, for being here. And folks, check it out. Dan Harrison. Go to danharrisonmusic.com and same social media handle. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Dan Harrison Music on all socials. Except for Twitter/X, it's DN Harrison Music. Dan, the A would have been one character too many, unfortunately. Maybe they'll change that someday.
All right, man. Well, you guys have a great week. And we'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
So, Warren, what's your favorite Dan Harrison song?
Alameda.
Why do you like Alameda?
Because.
You like the story?
Yes.